Atheist Nomads, episode 184, news for February 2, 2016.
The podcast you're about to listen to includes cursing and talking about hoo-haws. Please be advised.
Welcome to another episode of Atheist Nomads. I am Dustin. Joining me as always is Wesley.
Hello, everybody.
And Lauren is not with us.
She's with us. Hey, she's with us. She's not on the mic.
Yeah. So, how have you been doing?
Not too bad. I mean, okay, first of all, I get to ride my motorcycle again because it's warm enough.
Oh, so nice. That's
first, I mean, that is a major thing. That makes me feel so much better. Second, my boss has been out sick for the last couple of days, which is always kind of cool.
Okay.
So, you know, hey.
Nice.
Yeah. How about you?
Oh.
Anything fun?
Yeah. I built the workbench and go ahead and do the gluing inside the house.
Yeah.
Glued up in the living room. And that was nice. It turned out wonderfully. It's quite awesome. Yeah.
Sweet. Nice little workbench. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nice and sturdy.
Really sturdy. It passed the sit test.
I mean, most of this built whenever I make something, it's always overbuilt and way stronger than it needs to be.
Oh yeah. This thing's on wheels. The casters.
Stupidly heavy.
The casters are rated for 100 pounds each. So.
Oh shit.
Yeah, 400 pound weight load for those. The legs are made up of two 2x4s. All the cross beams are 2x4s, and it's two pieces of 1/2-inch plywood glued together for the top. So it's pretty strong.
Sweet.
Pretty strong. Yeah. Tight bond 2 for the glue. Everything is reinforced with screws as well. And shit. So yeah, it turned out beautifully. I'm quite pleased. That will give me much, much wonderful use for many years. And it's on wheels, so I can move it around. If I want to go work outside when spring comes, I can.
If you ever move, I mean, can you just easily take the legs off?
Oh, to move? Just wheel it onto the truck and pack stuff into it and on it.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
All right. Oh, did I ever mention that I got a Raspberry Pi going?
No, you didn't.
No? Oh, yeah. Fucking running RetroPie and a couple hundred games on there. Everything nice. From PC Engine to Neo Geo, and it's kind of cool.
Very cool. Raspberry Pi 3?
Yeah, 3B. Yep.
Okay. Nice.
Wi-Fi and all that.
Yeah.
Got a little wireless receiver for my 360 controller, so just use that instead of any wired controllers. It's pretty slick.
Very cool.
So for the price of one of those little Nintendo Classic setups with the tiny wired controllers, I got something way better.
Very nice.
Yeah. I got to, you know, super user do a little bit. That was kind of fun.
Cool, yeah. Cool. Playing around on the command line.
Yeah. Cool. Had a little bit of problem with my resolution. So, got that set up, but yeah, it was really stupidly easy. I mean, if anybody wants to get a Raspberry Pi and make their own little video game system, there's tons of tutorials and walkthroughs. Check out RetroPie, and it's a blast. It's really easy.
Cool.
Yeah.
Very nice. Yeah, I still have two Raspberry Pis, the original Model B, and I have one doing something and the other one is not.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, spend the $10 if you got a 360 controller around.
I don't.
Okay. Go to the Goodwill, get one. Yeah, $2 for a controller, $10 for the receiver.
All right, let's go ahead and move on to dusting off the degree. For this week's, I want to do something fun. This is kind of being spawned by Scathing Atheist getting into the Book of Mormon and Lucinda doing the story of Joseph Smith's start, and it was pretty awesome. But it's whose prophet is crazier, Adventist or Mormon? So let me paint the picture here. So we'll start with Ellen White. You have this young girl who gets hit in the head with a rock. Her eyesight is severely damaged. She has headaches the rest of her life, has to drop out of school. Several years later, after joining a apocalyptic cult, and the great disappointment happens, her family stays with the group, and she starts having visions. Within a year or two, she's off on the preaching circuit along with one of this group's leading ministers. They get married shortly after that, and he starts a publishing business writing about her visions. And then he becomes the president of that church. And whenever the church leadership is praying and studying, and they come up with something new for present truth, it is she has a vision that night endorsing it from God. Then after her husband dies, she becomes a thorn in the side of the leadership, and so they ship her off. Okay, so Joseph Smith. You have somebody who wanders around upstate New York seeing, trying to hunt for buried treasure in people's fields. And this is all happening around the same time as the Adventist movement. So it's during the Second Great Awakening, which sounds nice when it's worded like that. What it really was a backlash against deism and the Unitarians, because they weren't good Christians, and this new country needed good Christians. And so he saw a whole bunch of churches popping up around him and started his own. He had these golden plates that he could translate into a language that never existed, or from a language that never existed, and was never able to show the plates to anybody else. When somebody took the pages that he had translated, he started the story over again, just differently, because he couldn't repeat it. You know, it was just a different book from the Book of Mormon, just like the different Gospels. Then this group starts to grow. They keep getting chased around because he wants all the women and all the money, and is challenging the power of the secular leadership, and he gets killed.
Should mention that he's wanting the married women also.
Oh, yes. Yes. Oh, yeah. He wants all of the women.
All of the women.
So, Wesley, what do you think? Which prophet's crazier?
Well, I got to be honest, because since I know some of the more background about Joseph Smith, I'm going to give it to him. Because, you know, some of the stuff that didn't officially... some of the stuff that he wrote that didn't officially make it into the Book of Mormon, like, you know, talking frogs and shit, I'm going to give it to him.
Okay.
Everybody else should listen back to David Fitzgerald's episodes. Mm-hmm. Talk about that in there.
Yeah, I have you could say I'm biased.
Sure.
I definitely think Ellen White was the crazier one. Because when it comes down to it, for prophets, there's really one of three ways it goes.
Hmm.
The person is crazy.
Oh, we're going the C.S. Lewis way.
Brain damaged.
Yep.
Or con artist. Ellen White was brain damaged. She had visions. Those visions weren't from God. They were caused by damage to her brain.
Yeah. And Joseph Smith was just the fucking con artist.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, one thing that I definitely think is important is, you know, most prophets, like when you look at like the degree of brain damage or mental illness required to start causing people to have visions, those aren't people who tend to be able to take care of their own lives, let alone lead movements or hundreds or thousands or millions of people. Those are people who usually need care. Ellen White fit into that category. But James White showed up and was able to use her. I don't know for sure if he was a con man or if he was just going along with it all, but I have kind of a hard time. I can actually kind of envision that, you know, they're studying and they come to a conclusion about what the Bible says, and then she has a vision and actually wanting to believe that it's true enough to believe that that's God signing off on it. In Joseph Smith's case, there's no excuse. And the people who I'm concerned were crazy are all the people who bought it.
Yeah, I mean, it does kind of come back to that, you know, chicken or egg. I mean, who's the crazier one? The one that, you know, says the crazy or the one that follows the crazy?
Yeah. Yeah, I wouldn't surprise me if some of that stuff that didn't make it into the official cut, he was writing that stuff to see how far he could go before people would call bullshit. But once you get to a certain number of people, like a certain amount of followers, then you're going to bring in people, Brigham Young, who are also con men, who know that they can get a lot of power by getting in with you. And you're going to get a lot of people who want to be a part of this crowd. And you're going to get people, especially the way Mormons ended up setting things up, who like this idea of family and community, and they join it. And with both Mormons and Adventists, it's different. And so people who don't feel quite right with their more conventional church, well, this is different. Maybe it's better.
It's all crazy, man.
Yeah. And I am definitely, as the years go on, I move more and more towards thinking that James White was a con man.
Man, oh man. Crazy.
He didn't want the power so much, but yet always made sure he had it.
Well, I mean, who doesn't want some power? I mean, sure. I mean, besides Superman, that's really the only person I could think of.
Well, like when the Adventist Church officially incorporated, and White had been opposed to that all along because, well, if it didn't incorporate, then his printing press was his personal property in his name, and he had full editorial control. And once they incorporated, it became church property. But he didn't want to give up the printing press and didn't want to be church president. He made his friend Bates become church president. But that only lasted a couple of years. And then James White was president for like 20 years. I think once he saw that it was stable and that money was coming in, he was fine with taking the helm. He just didn't want the risk.
Well, yeah, religions, I mean, I suppose more then than now, were still kind of a dangerous thing. So, yeah, I mean, you could actually, well, I guess life in general was more dangerous back then. So, yeah, you could die for, you know, stupid shit. So, yeah, I could understand that.
Yeah. Well, and they would have just seen what was had gone on, you know, and then the couple decades prior with Mormons. And them getting driven out and people getting killed and wars and fights and fleeing the country only to have the country follow. Yeah. All right, let's go ahead and take a break and then we'll get started with news.
Atheist Nomads is proudly brought to you by Archway Hosting. Check out their low-price, full-featured hosting solutions at archwayhosting.com. That's A-R-C-H-W-A-Y hosting.com.
Hey. We're also brought to you by listeners just like you. Find out how you can become a patron at patreon.com/atheistnomads. That's patreon.com/atheistnomads.
We will get to Trump, but we're not going to start there. Quebec has the most Arabs of any province in Canada due to immigration from former French colonies. Some of that immigration being via France on the way there. And it makes sense that people from former French colonies who speak French would want to go to a French-speaking place. and Quebec tends to have less hate than France right now. Well, in June of last year, there was a hate crime involving somebody leaving a pig's head outside of the Islamic Cultural Center of Quebec City during Ramadan. And unfortunately, that's pretty mild compared to what happened on January 28, when a masked gunman opened fire on the crowd as they were finishing up their evening prayers.
Right.
Six people were killed and 17 others wounded. Early reports suggested the gunman was a Moroccan, but as it turns out, that young man was administering first aid until the police arrived and he saw guns and ran because he thought the gunman had come back.
Oh, shit. Well, luckily, the Canadian police are less, you know, they have less of a itchy trigger finger.
So. Yeah. They arrested him.
Sure.
And have released him.
Sure.
He's now a witness instead of a suspect.
Yeah, but if this happened in America, he would just be dead.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Brown skin running from the scene of a mass shooting, yeah, he'd be dead.
Holy shit, yeah.
Yeah. And, of course, right-wing media ran lots of stories about how it was Muslim-on-Muslim crime. Well, no, they knew before the evening was out, like within a couple hours, who had actually done it.
Mm-hmm.
Because he called the police from a nearby bridge to let them know that he had done it.
Right. Bragging?
Bragging, yes.
Right. Okay.
So he's been charged with murder and attempted murder. Hopefully he'll get a terrorism or hate crime charge added on as well.
Holy shit.
Yeah. Six dead, 17 wounded.
Just why? I mean, I hate religion, but come on. Why?
Well, we hate religion, not religious people.
Well, it takes a special religious person. I mean, there are some.
Yeah.
But yeah. Yeah. Holy shit. Okay. Wow. Yeah. That's this. You really started with the doozy there, bud.
Yeah. Yeah. Alexandre Bizanet. He's 27 years old and is well known as a far right, anti Muslim, anti immigrant douchebag.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Well, all right then. Fuck.
All right. So let's go ahead and get on to more involving right-wing, anti-immigrant, bigoted assholes.
Yeah, there's quite a theme, and we didn't even plan it.
Nope. It's just the news. At least six journalists who were covering the riots on Inauguration Day have been charged with felony rioting. They were among the 230 people arrested after windows were smashed and a limo lit on fire, but they were covering the riots, not participating in them.
Yeah, there's been a lot of shitty police things going on lately. Well, really always, but still. Mm.
So, like, I totally get those journalists getting arrested, because you show up to a riot, I can understand. Arrest everyone, get them away from there to stop the riot, and then sort things out. But you don't charge journalists with felonies.
I don't know. If you see a bunch of people with cameras and mics, you know, probably, you know, leave them alone or tell them to get back so that they can, you know, not be in danger.
Yeah.
But don't fuck with the media.
Yeah. They're an important part of our democracy. We need the media to help us know what's going on and to be reporting on what the government's doing as well. Because if it hadn't been for media covering that, then the only report that we would have gotten would have been from the police, not people who were actually there while it was happening.
And, well, sue me, but I don't always really trust the police or their accounts that they give us.
Yeah, well, even if you go with a charitable view of police reports, they are inherently one-sided. by nature, they are one-sided reports of what was observed, who was involved, and what they were doing wrong. The police aren't there to report on people doing things right or following the law. That's not their job. That's why we need journalists.
Oh, joy. This is great.
Yeah.
Everything's fine.
Yeah, you can, if you want to call it that, okay.
Yeah.
All right, so looks like we've got a Supreme Court appointment.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to nail his name. I'm just Neil Gorsuch. Donald Trump just nominated him to the Supreme Court. And this guy's young, really young. He's
49. Like
49? Yeah, he's got a good, 20, 30 years at least on the up there.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah. I got a few facts about this guy.
Okay.
Gorsuch, he's a strong supporter of religious freedoms, religious freedom rights. Last September, he joined a dissenting argument that requirements for contraception coverage in Obamacare ran roughshod over rights of religious nonprofits. So Gorsuch is a strong supporter of religious freedom, siding with Hobby Lobby, essentially. Okay.
Religious freedom or religious privilege.
Yeah, either way you want to call it. Yeah. Gorsuch also wrote a 2000 Law Journal article and a 2006 book arguing strongly against assisted suicide laws. So take that for what you will.
Okay.
And interestingly, pro-life activist Andy Schlafly, the son of thankfully dead Phyllis Schlafly.
Oh, yeah.
Thinks Gorsuch would probably not be a pro-life on the Supreme Court. But that gets messy, as Gorsuch sided with Utah Governor Gary Herbert's defunding of Planned Parenthood in, just 2016, so very recently. So, that's not really, really good.
I've seen him referred to as being basically in the image of Scalia.
He's probably less likely open to interpretation of the Constitution. I mean, he's, Scalia got weird on some shit. but supposedly this guy is a little bit more straightforward and maybe a little bit more predictable. But he really hasn't had much way in the... You really don't know which way he's going to go on abortion rights, though.
Hmm.
So,
interesting.
I don't know. Still definitely an unknown quantity, but still definitely a country boy from Colorado. Essentially, he raises horses and shit out on his farm. So now he's going to be a city boy. I'm sure that won't make him very happy.
Well, if he wasn't happy with it, he wouldn't have accepted the nomination.
Oh, sure. But, it's fucking exciting. And, 50 years old, the second youngest appointee ever. And, wow. Give him 5 or 6 years and, he might start burning out and getting pissed. Get a little pissy and fuck it. It's to hell with these guys. And so we'll see. I don't know. Oh, boy. This is just unknown quantity all over. But... still, I mean, it's a Trump pick. I mean, that's still kind of scary.
Well, and at least with what I've read about him, and granted, it's not much yet. This announcement was quite recent, within the last couple hours before we're recording. It seems like at its absolute worst, it puts the court back to where it was before Scalia's death.
Yeah. Which is definitely not good. But at least he's not a complete fucking lunatic asshole.
Yeah.
That's the best I got.
I do think it's interesting that Democrats are, even before this was announced, are threatening to filibuster.
And as well they should. after the fucking Republicans fucked with them for so long, yes, mm-hmm. they should.
Not even considering Obama's appointment.
Who was a fucking Republican himself?
Yeah.
Well, definitely a conservative. I don't know if Supreme Court justices are supposed to say if they're, you know, Republican or Democrat or not, but I know he was definitely conservative.
They are nonpartisan positions, but political alliances.
You can tell by their fucking record.
Their record and their political allegiances are not secret by any means.
Hmm.
But yeah, so the filibuster, that could be interesting. I suspect it won't succeed, but if nothing else, if Democrats can demonstrate they have some backbone, that would be amazing. Absolutely amazing.
Yeah, so we'll see where this goes. I'm not happy, but I could be a lot more mad.
Yeah. I think the most concerning thing with it is he'll be on there for 30 or 40 years. It's a long time.
Yeah. Well, what are you going to do? But, you know, I got nothing. I can't say anything.
Yeah.
We're going to have a lot of these, you know, enlightening and heartwarming stories for, you know, the next 4 to 8 years.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yep.
Deal with it.
All right. So, one of Trump's many, many, many executive orders, which just waiting for Republicans to complain about executive overreach, but don't hear that happening. But anyway, it calls for a halt on refugees. And once that resumes, only allowing refugees of a certain type, which in some reporting of it has suggested only from minority religions, and it prohibits travel into the United States, at least for a limited time, for anyone from certain Muslim-majority countries. Depending on the way you look at the list or who's describing it, either these are countries that Trump doesn't do business with, or these are countries that Obama had identified as high risk. Either way, nobody from any of those countries has ever committed an act of terrorism that has killed American civilians.
And as I recall, that goes back to 1975.
Yeah.
Since records like that were being kept.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, this is a stupid, I'm going to keep my presidential candidacy promise of, you know, getting all these Muslims out of here and not letting them in and keeping us safe and all this bullshit. but it looks like all he's doing is really just fucking with countries that he can afford to because, he's not doing business with them anyways.
Yeah.
So, yeah, bullshit is as bullshit does.
Mm-hmm. This has caused difficulty for people with green cards to not be able to return to the U.S. from trips back to their home countries or other trips outside of the country because it bars any citizens of the 7 countries on the list from entry into the country. And so far, at least one federal judge from New York has issued an injunction against the order, at least the part barring people with valid visas or green cards. But this hasn't stopped people from being blocked from flights. It hasn't stopped the tech industry from freaking out about not being able to recruit quality candidates the way they have been.
And people that are in other countries right now.
Uh-huh.
Like, what are they going to do? How are they going to get home?
Yeah. And it even creates a scenario where, okay, you live here already. If you leave the country, you can't come back in.
Yeah. What the fuck is that?
But the worst thing with this, it has caused so much confusion. It was so poorly written. It was so vague that basically everybody tasked with enforcing it had a different interpretation of what it meant. And then even despite the fact that parts of it violate federal law, and executive orders cannot violate federal law. So that added to confusion. The injunction created additional confusion. It's just everything about this has caused confusion.
You know, there was a story I posted a few hours ago on the Atheist Nomads Facebook page that really ties into this, and I didn't include it in the notes, but I just wanted to mention it. There's a Syrian family who watched their relatives get deported, and they admitted that they actually voted for Donald Trump. I mean,
oh, wow.
They're Syrian Christians, and, you know, they wanted safe borders, and if it was, like, maybe 2 hours later, their family would have been able to stay with that injunction. But, you know, it took them 10 years. Some of the family members that were flying over here to come hadn't seen their family that is here in over 10 years. And they missed it by about, you know, an hour and a half, 2 hours.
Wow.
And I actually really feel sorry for these people. I mean, they're talking about, they have actually seen terrorism, and, you know, they want to have their family be safe in this mm-hmm. country. And I guess they didn't think that the other candidate would have done that. But, yeah. Holy shit. I mean, they got deported right in front of their eyes.
Wow.
So, really sad. What are you going to do?
Yeah. Well, and then one part I want to talk about is just the fact that this is specifically targeting Muslim majority countries. If it is because they are Muslim majority countries, then that would be inherently unconstitutional.
A, fucked up, B, completely illegal. Yeah.
It bars all refugees from entering the country at this point, despite where they were in their application process, for 120 days. That's refugees from Syria, South Sudan, from Burma, from all over.
But not Saudi Arabia, where most of the attackers for 9/11 came from.
Yeah. Just
tossing that in there. Well,
they can't be refugees, but if they're in good standing with their government, then, like the September 11 attackers were, they can get visas to come over. That's not a problem. But if when they do reinstate refugee programs, if religion is a test, oh, that is fucked up and illegal. Because, well, A, just no. But also, most people in Syria are Muslims who are being persecuted by the Islamic State, or at least the ones in areas controlled by the Islamic State. Most of their victims are Muslim. And so, how the hell are you going to try to define how that all works? If religion is a factor, where do you draw the line?
There is no line that's not illegal.
Right. And not only is there not one that's not illegal, there's not one that really makes sense.
No. Yeah. you got Britain, well, England, who's trying to stop President Trump's visit over there. You know, there's a lot of people in England that, you know, have their green cards visa issues themselves who couldn't mm-hmm. come to the United States right now. And they're like, you know what? We don't really feel comfortable having Trump come over here.
Now, it is fair to say there are a lot of people in Britain who are trying to stop this. The British government is the one who has invited Trump.
Well, Boris, I forget his last name, Boris Johnson.
Uh-huh.
He gave us a talk saying that he, in front of Parliament, that he doesn't want Trump coming over there.
Oh, interesting.
So,
and he's the foreign secretary.
I think he's missing a chunk of brain, but, you know, yeah, neither here nor there.
But yeah, he's in charge of their foreign affairs.
That's a sad state of affairs, then. Yeah. But, you know, something that was really awesome is that, well, people have been standing up and you know, getting out. And, like, everybody that came out right after Trump's inauguration for the Women's March, you know, that wasn't the only thing. You know, people are actually standing up and staying up. There were tons mm-hmm. of people out in the airports that were protesting this and, you know, trying to get their voices heard. So, you know, airports all across the country, LA, I know there's a really big one in SeaTac. We had thousands of people in our airport, plus, you know, everybody that's trying to fly in and out.
Wow. There are even hundreds protesting at the Boise airport.
Holy shit. So this is wonderful seeing people continue to stand up and not just like have one event and just like go home and just fade into the dark. No, people are pissed and people are continuing to stay pissed and stay active. And that's exactly what the fuck everybody needs to do.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I'm pretty much to the point of saying fuck Republicans, fuck Democrats. I'm just a progressive and I want my voice heard. And I'm glad that a lot of other people are making their voice heard also.
Yeah.
I don't care that I added that last bit in there, but whatever.
All right. How about Yates?
Oh, God. Yeah. I'm going to say it. Sally Yates is a fucking American hero.
Damn right.
God damn right. So, yeah, you might have heard the name Sally Yates. Maybe you haven't. Anyways, she got fired for doing exactly what Jeff Sessions told her to do to Obama. She basically told the United States, everybody, to not pay attention to these immigration bans that Trump put in place, that they were illegal, unconstitutional, and you know what? Follow my heart, follow mm-hmm. the rule of law. Don't follow Trump's order.
And also said that she wasn't going to be defending it in court.
No. Yeah, no. So, you know, three cheers for that. That's fucking badass. Just fucking fought the power. And the power smacked her down a few, really soon after. But, holy shit, this is awesome. But yeah, like I mentioned, Jeff Sessions, just like I think it was 2015 with during Obama's reign, mm-hmm. Jeff Sessions actually asked her,
"Do you think the attorney general has a responsibility to say no to the president if he asks for something that's improper? But if the views the president wants to execute are unlawful, should the attorney general or the deputy attorney general say no?"
Senator, I believe that the attorney general or the deputy attorney general has an obligation to follow the law and the Constitution and to give their independent legal advice to the president.
And she fucking did it. It was beautiful.
So that would have been during her confirmation for deputy attorney general. And pending Jeff Sessions' confirmation, Trump had asked her to fill in as acting attorney general.
And I might add that she actually got bipartisan support, like a lot of support from both sides of the aisle right after that confirmation hearing.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody loved her.
Yeah. Ah, awesome. All right. Well, except that she got fired.
I think she might have a really good career as a politician here if she wants to. If she takes advantage of it, which I kind of think she should.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
I don't know all of her policies, but I know that, you know, standing up to Trump like that is fucking gold right now.
Yeah, she should, if she can, run for the Senate next year. Next year.
I know she's a Democrat, so that's at least not completely bad. So, but yeah, fuck. Oh, boy. It was beautiful. And If she runs, fucking everybody kick her a buck. Seriously.
All right, let's go ahead and take a break.
We love hearing from our listeners. You can email us at contact@atheistnomads.com, tweet us @atheistnomads, send us a message on our Facebook page at facebook.com/atheistnomads, or better yet, call us and leave us a message at 541-203-0666. We might even play it on the show. You can also help us out by leaving us a review on iTunes, Stitcher, or your podcast directory of choice.
Trump has removed both the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff and director of National Intelligence.
Sounds like a smart move.
Yes. From their permanent ex officio positions on the National Security Council. That is, by virtue of being in those positions, they have, as long as those positions have existed, been on the National Security Council. And they have been replaced with noted conspiracy theorist and white supremacist Steve Bannon, formerly of Breitbart.
Right, sure. So let's replace people that are actually knowledgeable, actually knows how government and, you know, military works.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, replace them with some right-wing conspiracy nut job.
Yeah, yeah. Draining the swamp?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I am not pro-military, but I would rather have somebody that actually knows how it works than somebody who doesn't.
Yeah, so they will both still be called in when their expertise is viewed as being important for the discussion or matter that's before the council.
Sure.
But it's the National Security Council. If they are talking about something, you definitely want intelligence, and having the military perspective is probably always a good idea. Having the perspective of a right-wing nut job
is never a good idea.
No. Bannon, he ran Breitbart, which is like at the top of the list of fake news sites.
Yeah, I mean, the dude is right-wing conspiracy. He can't even give you cute anecdotes about Bigfoot. I mean, it's just all weird fucking political racist bullshit.
Well, like, the insane executive order that we just talked about, he wrote it.
Yeah. Yeah, we're going to talk more about him. Oh, goodness. Bannon's a fucking piece of work.
Oh, man. And he's on the not just on the National Security Council, but now
he's a big part of it now.
Important people. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I don't see how he could even get a security clearance. Ah, the fuck. Well, I think you have an idea of what the fuck is going on.
Well, at least GQ does, and I don't think I've ever said those words before in my life. GQ just put out an article a few hours ago saying, in case it wasn't yet clear, Steve Bannon is our president, with a subheading of, Donald Trump is just a puppet who doesn't care about anything. I would amend that to say that Trump definitely cares about his image and reputation in the public's eye. Other than that, yeah, he really doesn't care about it, fucking anything.
Well, if he actually cared about his image and reputation, he wouldn't have said all the things he said.
I mean, all Trump does is say sad, fake loser in a twit, and then says that everything is fake news, and then, you know, obviously that makes it all right in the world somehow.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Steve Bannon is making far-reaching and unprecedented decisions in this White House and is totally undermining the basic checks and balances that, you know, you learned about in, well, fucking junior high civics class. So, what the fuck? I mean, I used to say, you know, Trump is really dangerous, and then, you know, if Trump gets tossed out, Pence is really even more dangerous, but fuck, I think Trump's a fucking idiot, and Pence is still fucking dangerous as all hell, but Bannon is just spiderwebbing his way into everything, and that guy, I think more than anybody right now, he needs to go.
Yeah.
This is scary. I mean, just in, well, you know, a few days, this guy is basically writing everything that crosses Trump's desk for Trump to sign. And it's just weird. I mean, like, he was the architect of Donald Trump's don't call it a Muslim ban, even though he calls it a Muslim ban.
Mm-hmm.
But come on, this is completely horrible, and we need to keep standing up. That's my only solution right now, because I can't say take action of some sort, but stand up.
Yeah.
Keep speaking out. Fucking get good people elected as soon as possible.
All right. Well, let's go ahead and look at one more story from not the U.S. Last year, Russia decriminalized minor assault, things like fights on the street or in a bar, as long as it's infrequent and doesn't cause substantial harm. It's still illegal, but it's considered an administrative offense, so roughly equivalent to an infraction in the U.S., like a speeding ticket. But this left a gaping hole that the pro-family activists in the Duma could not let stand. So they have now also decriminalized, by a vote of 380-3, domestic violence, as long as it doesn't happen more than once a year and doesn't cause substantial bodily harm.
So only three people said that you're not allowed to have a freebie once a year of beating your wife. Right. Okay. That makes no sense at all.
And substantial bodily harm, what's that even mean? Is it as long as you don't cause internal bleeding or break a bone?
I mean, are we going to the slave rules, and you can't hit them with anything bigger than your wrist or their wrist? Forget.
Is it, it's fine as long as it doesn't involve hospitalization?
I mean, some women will complain if you give them a black eye. I mean, they could, that's debatable.
But I don't think that would be substantial bodily harm. So, you know, they've made it so it's okay to beat your wife as long as you don't do it regularly. Actually, let me rephrase that. You have to do it regularly. It just can't be at a high frequency.
Like I said, you get a freebie once a year. Sure. Right. Yeah. Now, unsubstantial bodily harm, you know, or just mental abuse. Meh.
Mm-hmm.
Great. Yeah.
Now, it is punishable.
Or sexual abuse, I'm assuming. Because I'm guessing you can't rape your wife in Russia. It just...
Yeah. So, it is still punishable by roughly a $500 fine or 15 days arrest. A $500 fine would just make things worse. Because then, since most families have joint finances, you are punishing the whole family for it. And a 15-day arrest, that if they actually are doing that, good. But I highly doubt it. All right, let's go ahead and move on to feedback. From Travis, okay, why am I getting the blanked out stuff on the patron-only feed? What's being said? It really detracts from the podcast for me. Is Trump censoring you guys?
Well, don't know. Oh, yeah. Problem is.
So, going through, okay, when we were having that discussion, and for those of you who are listening on the regular feed, that was in the beginning rant bit. I said some things that would have got us added to more watch list than I want to be on.
Yeah.
A watch list that is not on my wish list. And so I bleeped things that I said, like, and yes, I just great. Bleeped Thanks. All of that as well.
Oh.
Yeah, so well, now everybody gets the bleep. So I bleeped that out, and then I had to trim quite a bit for the regular feed because we went quite long. So a big chunk of that, including all the bleeped out stuff, went as well. So that's why it was still in the patron part, and I didn't want to just delete that because it'd make more of the conversation around it not make sense, and also because I thought it was funny. Wesley and Lauren say things that are pretty bad, and then I say something so terrible I have to bleep it. And I thought that was funny.
Oh, boy.
And he also continued, Wesley, thank you for bringing up Trump's bullshit comment about our education system in his inaugural speech. It was such crap what he said.
Dude, I took a bullet for everybody. I fucking actually watched his speech and then read the transcript.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow.
Doubled up on that.
Damn.
Yeah. So I did that so you don't have to.
Ugh. Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's like 16 minutes of my life I'm not getting back.
I'm sorry.
Oh, well. Yeah. It's all good. It's all good. That's what, those are the sacrifices I make for you people.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's all we've got for this week. We don't have any new supporters, unfortunately. But you can always go to patreon.com/atheistnomads or look at the links on the right-hand side of the page to Patreon or PayPal. And you can support us on a per episode, monthly, annual, or one-time only basis.
And, you know, don't forget, if you're, you know, husband or wife or boyfriend or girlfriend or, you know, loved one has a special event or a birthday party coming up, you know, use our Amazon click-through on the right side of our page and, you know, buy them sex toys because everybody loves those.
Yeah. And that way, when I see the report on Amazon, I won't think they're all from Wesley.
Yeah, seriously. Kind of, you know. Kind of spread it around, guys. Come on.
So, just remember, not all those who wander are lost.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Atheist Nomads. You can find show notes and contact information at atheistnomads.com. Follow us on Twitter at Atheist Nomads. And like us on Facebook at facebook.com/atheistnomads. Please subscribe to the show in iTunes, Stitcher, or your podcatcher of choice, and while you're there, feel free to leave us a review. Theme music is courtesy of Sturdy Fred. Until next time, this has been the Atheist Nomads.